First of all, thank you, choir and Linda. That was magnificent. Outstanding. Good morning, Village.
Good morning.
My name is Chris Sasser, and I'm one of the deacons here at Village, and it's my honor and pleasure to provide today's scripture reading. You'll find that today's scripture reading comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Which can be found on page 1103 of your pew Bibles, as well as it's on the overhead, both fore and aft. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
I'm not a frequent flyer, but Linda and I take the occasional plane trip. And a few months ago, when we were coming back from my mother's 90th birthday, I was sitting in the airplane seat, and I noticed the pocket in front of me, there was one of those merchandise catalogs that you see on airplanes. Well, I started looking through it, and I saw a bunch of household items and electronic gadgets and pet products, sports memorabilia, fashion accessories, other novelty items for sale. I've never ordered anything from the catalog, but I was interested in what they had to offer. And I thought you might like to see some of the items that caught my attention. You can buy your own collegiate garden gnome for $19.99. Now, this one is featuring LSU, but probably your university has a garden gnome as well. Another item that was for sale was a signed photo from Lou Holtz, the former football coach at Notre Dame. That's Lou Holtz walking on the sideline, not the guy jumping up in the air in the photo. That photo is available for $159.99. You can also purchase a picnic cooler for four for the price of $124.95. Food is not included. You can also buy a picnic basket for two, and that goes for $187.73. This one will be of interest to some of you. It's a pooch porch potty. Try to say that fast. Pooch porch potty. For your four-legged friend who maybe doesn't have access to the backyard, it's right there for his needs. That's only $279.99. And then finally, for your four-legged friends, there is a pet ramp, which is a three-step staircase or ramp for $199.95. If your dog or cat has trouble getting up on the furniture. Now, I'm not saying that these are bad products. Expensive, yes, not bad. Maybe some of you have one or more of them at your house. But I can't see myself shelling out $159.99 for a signed photo of Lou Holtz, nor can I see buying a pooch porch potty, since we don't have a pooch at our house. Maybe a collegiate garden gnome would look good in my yard. Or then again, maybe not. Well, the item that really got my attention in the catalog was a product called the Human Slingshot. It's a big elastic band that you and three of your closest friends get inside of, and then you stretch back and you fling yourselves at one another. Now, I know you can't envision it, so I want to play the demonstration video so you can see how it works. The Human Slingshot. Okay, now doesn't that make you just want one? Maybe you ought to get two. It can be yours for $99.99 plus shipping. They're available in blue or black. Step inside the human slingshot with three of your closest friends, then sling yourselves at one another. Apparently, the game goes on until somebody falls and gets dragged through the dirt, or until there's a collision resulting in broken noses, limbs, ribs, and skulls. Did you notice that all the participants in the demonstration video were young white people? What does that say about that demographic? Well, here's my point. You really don't need to buy a human slingshot to get slung around. Most of us get slung around enough by life, and it's not a game. A few years ago, Maurice Wheaton came to the Worship and Music Commission with a proposal. His idea was that we put prayer cards in the pew pockets so that people in the congregation could write down their prayer requests and the cards could be given to me. Now, Maury's idea was that the cards would be given before the concerns time so that I could read them out and you could hear what the prayer requests are and we could pray for them. But the commission couldn't figure out a way to make that happen where I would get the cards in that timely fashion. So instead, the prayer cards are there in the pew pockets and you fill them out and you drop them in the offering plate and then I get them after the service. And then during the week, I pray for those requests that have been written on the cards. Now, sometimes the prayer requests get mentioned the following Sunday during concerns time, but more often people ask to keep their requests confidential and they're not shared in a public way. It's been very humbling to me to be entrusted with your prayer requests. Without betraying any confidences, I can share in a general nature what people are asking me to pray for. There are many prayer requests for healing, either healing for the individual or healing for a friend or a family member. There are prayer requests for job searches or interviews or employment situations. There are prayer requests for financial needs. Their prayer requests for people with a mental issue or an addiction. Their prayer requests for young people that they be given the guidance to make wise decisions about their lives. Their prayer requests for the elderly, especially those dealing with a chronic condition like Alzheimer's disease. Their prayer requests for people receiving treatment for cancer or some other serious condition. Their prayer requests for people recovering from surgery. Their prayer requests for troubled relationships, troubled marriages, conflict between children and parents, other relational issues. Their prayer requests for those who suffered the loss of a loved one. There are unspecified prayer requests, sometimes where only a name is given, but no other information provided. Now, these prayer request cards are tangible reminders to me that we don't need a big elastic band to sling us around. Life slings us around plenty. And sometimes we feel like we've been knocked off our feet and dragged through the dirt. And sometimes we collide with the hard realities of life and it hurts and it's not a game. But what I do every Monday morning is I go through those prayer request cards and I take each one and I pray for that particular need. And then I keep the cards in my desk, and every time I open my desk drawer, I see them, I'm reminded to pray again during the week for those particular needs. Now, it's not that my prayers are more powerful than your prayers. I don't have a hotline to God. But I am humbled to pray on your behalf as your pastor. And I think it's one of the most important things I do, to pray for you. James talked about that in our scripture for this morning. He talked about praying for ourselves and praying for each other. He talked about sharing our concerns with one another in the family of faith. He encouraged us to pray. And he said the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Just exactly what did James mean when he said the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective? Well, certainly he was not suggesting that we will get everything we pray for. We all know that's not true. There are things we pray for that don't come about as we want it. When my father developed pancreatic cancer, we prayed fervently for his healing. But healing did not come in a physical sense. Life has limits, and eventually all of us will die from something. And yet, there is power in prayer. We don't always get what we pray for, but many times we do. You ever thought about how many times we pray for somebody who's sick and they get well? I mean, it happens a lot. It happens almost all the time. It's rare that people get sick and don't get well, but we know that not every prayer is answered in the way we want it to be answered. We pray for comfort in the face of loss, and people are comforted. They get through their grief. We pray for strength in time of need, and people find strength to carry on. Many times God does answer our prayers in the way we want Him to answer them, and we give thanks for that. But other times God answers our prayers in different ways, ways we never even imagined. And sometimes it's a mystery to us. What we're talking about here is the providence of God. The idea is that God's ways are not always our ways, and God's thoughts are not always our thoughts. Sometimes what we want is not what God seems to want. I think about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he died on the cross, and how he prayed so fervently to God. You remember the scene. He took his closest friends with him, and then he asked them to pray for him, and he went a little further, and he knelt on the ground and prayed, and his prayer was so intense that his sweat was as drops of blood. And he prayed fervently that the cup of suffering would be taken from him. In other words, he didn't want to die. He prayed that God would provide some other way to fulfill God's will, to complete his mission, without having to die on the cross. And we can't fault Jesus for that. Who would want that? It's a natural human instinct to want to survive, to protect ourselves. And yet, remember, at the end of his prayer, he said, "Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. Nevertheless, your will be done." Sometimes God's ways are not our ways. In his book, A Scandalous Providence, Frank Tupper notes that the word providence comes from the Latin word providere, which means to provide. It's actually two Latin words, pro meaning before, and videre meaning see. And the idea is that God sees before things happen. God has the foresight to see what's going to happen, and therefore he is prepared to provide for whatever happens. We don't have that foresight. We sometimes can't see what's going to happen. And we're frankly knocked off our feet sometimes by the things that happen in life. But because God has the foreknowledge, he can provide for us what is foreseen in his eyes. And in the providence of God, our needs will be provided for no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how unforeseen the events of life may be. Sometimes, frankly, life is baffling and even overwhelming, and we struggle to make sense of it. Sometimes it's hard to see the hand of God at work. It's hard to understand the purposes of God when life seems to take a wrong turn. But even in the midst of difficult or painful or tragic circumstances, we know that God is there. Because God sees and God knows and God cares and God provides and God loves. And so there is great power in prayer. And I know some people say, well, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. But I don't feel very righteous. I mean, who am I to say I'm righteous? And the truth is, none of us are righteous in and of ourselves, but we are made righteous through our faith in Jesus. His death on the cross makes every person who believes in him righteous. And that makes our prayers powerful and effective. The power of prayer is not so much what it does to God, but what it does to us. For as we pray, we open ourselves to God. As we pray, we open ourselves to God's Spirit. As we pray, we open ourselves to the peace of Christ. As we pray, we enter into a dialogue with God that changes how we look at life, and yes, even changes the way we live. You see, the real power of prayer is that it connects us to God. And we have no other way to be connected to God. If we did not pray, if we did not need to pray, there would be no real connection between us and God. And without that connection, our lives would have no ultimate purpose, and our deaths would be the end of us. Without that connection, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune would have no meaning, and the sleep of death would be final. But when we pray, we are connected to a higher power, far greater than ourselves, a power greater than anything of this earth. Yes, life is the ultimate slingshot. The ultimate human slingshot, and we are thrown and flung back and forth, and sometimes we fall. But here's the thing. We can never fall beneath God's loving arms, no matter how fast or how far. And so, James says, pray. 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 Keep praying. In Jesus' name, pray. God will always hear. God will always care. God will always provide. God will always love. So, pray. Our Father, sometimes life is a mystery to us. Especially when bad things happen to good people, when the innocent suffer, when people of no fault of their own find themselves in a place they don't want to be. It's hard to understand how your hand's at work in that. When illness strikes, or when death comes unexpectedly, or when some other unfortunate event causes us to feel as if we've been slung out of control and we feel like we've been dragged through the dirt, collided with the harsh realities of life. In those times, oh God, we need a stronger faith, a faith to believe that you're there, that you care, that you provide, that you love. And so we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that we can talk to you, that we can share our concerns with each other, and others will pray for us. We thank you that when we're too weak to pray, your Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Thank you, O God, for loving us so much that you gave Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross that makes us righteous. And thank you for the assurance that the prayer of the righteous, even people like us, is powerful and effective. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer. Incline your ear to us and grant us your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and we offer you the opportunity to respond. It may be there's someone here today who'd want to accept Jesus as your Savior, receive Him into your heart, give your life to Him, follow Him as a believer in baptism. We would welcome that decision. Or it may be that you've made that commitment a long time ago, but you're not a part of this church. You'd want to unite with us. We would welcome that decision as well. Invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 409, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.